confusion fades. Just a word, and suddenly I'm not afraid, 'cause you speak and freedom reigns. There is hope in every single word you say.
Well, today we're starting a new series on the parables of Jesus, and I don't know about you, this is one of my favorite times of year, and I love these days. I have a garden center about a block away from my house, and I just love the things that come out of that garden center. I mean, the flowers are so beautiful, and just make me smile, and then the fruit and all the plants that are coming, all the vegetables and everything else. Any gardeners here in the congregation, right? Any people just love to eat good fresh fruit? Yes. Look at beautiful flowers. I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it? Especially when you stop and think about where all this came from. I mean, look at this next picture, okay? Nobody really makes, well, creations out of all this. We don't really think about it. You know, the amazing thing about God's creation is that he's taken these little tiny seeds. I went and grabbed some seed packets. I mean, just amazing that these pictures are, you know, what we're seeing here, all this is going to come. There's tiny little seeds in here. I thought I'd just rip them open and throw them around. And I thought, no. There's, each one of these is not to be wasted. I mean, there's such, well, to look at an acorn and then to look at an oak tree and to kind of go, what did that have to do with this? And these little black seeds that are going to become these beautiful flowers. I mean, isn't it remarkable? And really what's the miracle about it is that we can take these seeds, and if we put them in the right place and take care of them in the right way, the harvest is both beautiful, delicious, beyond description, unbelievable. Certainly our great creative God has done this. And I would say to anybody who's kind of wondering, does God really exist? I say, well, just look at the world he's put together. Look at the rest of our solar system. Do you see any of this any place else? I mean, if it would just all happen by chance, certainly this would have rippled out into other places. No, God's given us this wonderful picture, this wonderful world that we live in, so green, so colorful, so beautiful, so nourishing, so delicious. And so today we begin by talking about all of that. Our passage this morning is from Mark chapter 4. It's one of the first parables that Jesus tells. It's on page 1004, I think, in the Shelter Rock Bibles. If you'd like to follow along with this, excuse me, we're going to take a look at some of these stories that Jesus tells to us. Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 1 here. Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat out on the lake. And while all the people along the shore were at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And what's interesting about this is that we see Jesus not hiding away. And he's, you know, sometimes we've kind of made our Christian faith kind of a place where you have to come to a building and be with other people to kind of hear the message. Jesus has taken the message of God outside the synagogue, outside the comfortable little religious place. He's out with the people, and the people are interested. And he's out on the hillside, their kind of hillside. I think this is where Jones Beach Theater got the idea. You know, this natural amphitheater, a little water in between. He's got a little boat that he's got using it. Some people say he's the creator of the universe. He understands how water amplifies the sound as it goes. And so you can see, oh, look at this, water's coming to us. Thank you, Steve. So you can understand that, you know, Jesus is out speaking to all these people. And it says he speaks to them with parables. Now, I'm sure you've heard this word. A parable is a story that kind of comes alongside a truth. Para, kind of coming alongside. It's kind of taking a truth that you want to tell people, But instead of just giving them the facts and the statistics of the truth, you kind of tell a story along with it so that it makes it more memorable, kind of catches people's attention with all this. Listen to it. This is what Warren Wiersbe says about a parable. A parable begins innocently as a picture that arrests our attention and arouses our interest. Oh, yeah. Jesus tells a story and we kind of go, yeah, I get that. But as we study the picture, it becomes a mirror in which we suddenly see ourselves. So a story is not just interesting, not just memorable to us, but oftentimes we see ourselves in the story and how that fits. And then Wiersbe goes on and says, and if we continue to look by faith, the mirror becomes a window through which we see God and his truth. And how we respond to that truth will determine what further truth God will teach to us. So Jesus is just capturing people's attention. He's kind of using this whole thing to kind of say, let me tell you a story about what God is like. It's really a story about what we're like. It's really a story about what the real truth about the universe and creation and God's connection with people. Jesus tells it in a story that makes sense to them. And here's the story, okay? Let's read on, verse 3. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teachings he said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. We'll just stop right there. Do you have someone in your life who often says to you, listen? You know, it could be your parents, could be a teacher, could be your employer, could be your coach. You know, they've got something important to tell you, and so what do? Before they tell you, they go, hey, listen, listen, okay? I guess it just shows us that the world has always been distracted, and it's so easy to kind of, just hear people talk, but it goes right past us and just, it doesn't really register with us. Jesus, above all people, looks at all these people and says, I know you're all thinking about other things, but listen, okay? What I'm going to tell you is going to be crucial in your life. It's going to be so important. If you understand this, everything's going to change in your life. If you don't understand this, well, then you're going to be lost and confused. So listen, listen. And so what does he do? He goes on then and he says this. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came and they ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear any grain. Still other seed fell on the good soil, and it came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. If you stop and think about that, when you slice open a tomato and you see all the seeds inside, or you slice open a piece of fruit, it's not just one seed in there. It just multiplies itself again and again and again. And then Jesus said, verse 9, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. That's another way to say, listen. If you've got ears, open them up and listen to what I'm telling you. This is going to make all the difference in your life with all these things. So Jesus is using a simple story to kind of tell what's happening here. In the Bible times, people often scattered seed. They operate a little differently than we do. Often we kind of turn the earth over and prepare, and then we put the seed in. They would throw the seed over top of the earth, and then they would go and plow the seed into the earth with all of that. And so the seed was going, all different kinds of places. And I think Jesus was so spontaneous that maybe on that day when he was standing in the boat and speaking to everybody, he probably pointed out and said, see, oh, look over there on the hillside. See the man over there with his bag of seeds? See him spreading his seed? He's probably just taking a real experience and saying, look at that guy. See what's happening? He's sowing the seed. And that seed's going to land on four different kinds of soil. and he tells the story about the whole thing. And people are catching on to all this. And then when he's finished telling the story, he says, you know, he talks about the good crop multiplying itself, and he says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And that's it. Jesus is done. You say, man, I wish he'd come to preach at our church, you know. You get the shorter sermons, that would be a lot better, right? These other guys, you know, Crabtree, he goes on and on and on. Like, Jesus is done with all of that. And one of the things about it is that they call this inductive thinking, inductive teaching. He gives us a story, and he basically says, now you think about it. He doesn't tell us exactly how it all works out and everything else. He wants you to think about it. I mean, sometimes I think the weakness of our teaching is that we tell you too much. We, instead of interesting you and kind of planting a seed in your head, we kind of say, well, this is what it means, and this is what you should do about it. Here's how you should apply it. And we say it again, and then Jack Crabtree usually says it a third time, okay? Because we want you to get it with all that. Jesus just puts it out there, and he kind of wants to engage us, and he says, okay, tells a story that you'll be remembering today and tomorrow and next week, and he's just laying the hint down to you, what's this mean to you? And so people are looking at all this. What happened in all this is that, you know, Jesus doesn't give much of an explanation for any of his parables. But on this case, the disciples, after all the crowd had left, they kind of said, hey, boss, you're going to send us out here in a couple chapters. In Mark 6, we're going to be out trying to tell other people. And we got to know, what does this mean that you just told them? Explain it to us. And so I guess they're a little nervous. And so Jesus gives an explanation of this. It's the only time in any parable that he ever explains a parable. And when you go down to verse 13, he says, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? And so this morning, as I'm getting ready to talk to you about this, you better listen, because if you don't get this, you're going to miss what God wants to tell us. He says, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes the word away that was sown in them. Others are like that seed sown on rocky places. They hear the word, and once they receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, well, because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others are like the seed sown among the thorns. They hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And so Jesus lays this out and tells us, you know, this is what I'm explaining to you is the word that I'm giving you. Well, not everybody's going to accept it. When you go out and begin to tell everybody that the kingdom of God has come, that Jesus is here on earth, not everybody's going to believe it. Some people are going to be hard. Some people are going to be like quick believers and then not really follow through. He's basically laying all this out for us and kind of saying, you know, look at how this is going to happen and how this, well, the difference that this is going to make with all of this. You know, I think that what's interesting in all this, he's saying, take my story and then kind of see, where do you fit in all this? You know, how does this mean? What does this mean to you? And he says, look, the seed is the word. It's the word of God to us. The seed that's being planted, that this farmer's planting, it represents what God wants to tell us in all these things. And what does God want to tell us? Well, God's word tells us the truth about who he is, and that he's the creator of the universe, that he's all-knowing, all-powerful, and that he wants to connect to us. In fact, he invites us to be connected to him. The Bible tells us, the word tells us, that God's truth is like a light for our path. It's like it shows us, it gives us guidance and help along the way, the things that we need as we walk through this world. The seed also tells us that that the word of God comes in when we read it, when we apply it in our life and absorb it, It gives us new life, raises us up. And Jesus has kind of come to say, the kingdom of God is here. God has sent me into the world, God in the flesh, to come to build a bridge so that you can walk across to God, the bridge of forgiveness. And as Pastor Jim said this morning, you know, the day is going to come when everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. No, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. God's building a bridge of forgiveness and new life. And he's inviting everyone, everyone from every place, from every background, whatever you've done, whatever your history's been, whatever your future is, he's inviting all of us to come to him. He said, that's the seed that we're planting. And the sower is throwing it out there to everyone. And it's available to everyone if they'll just receive it. And he says, but here's the situation. People, not everybody receives it. Not everybody understands. And Jesus gives this story about these four different types of soil. So let's look at them. Let's look at them really carefully here. He says, when we see the four different responses. Number one, there's hardened soil. The bird, you know, people have walked on the soil. It's kind of patted it down. It's kind of being over at the golf course, you know, when the PGA was here. You know, all that beautiful grass all got patted, you know, so many people. So when the seed fell on that soil, the birds just came and ate it, and it just disappeared right away. He said, there are people out there who are hardened. And just like what Amanda shared, you know, with Micah's story. Micah's heart was hardened because, well, her parents got divorced. They stopped going to church. You know, it was just one of those things. Some of us, we've had things happen in our life. Disappointments and hurts and problems. And it's hardened our hearts. Sometimes we stop listening to God's word. We don't look at our Bibles. We stop going to church. We just think about other things. We build our life on something other than God. And in these situations, sometimes, you know, we think, well, this is the way we're going to be. But God still keeps trying to get through to us. I love the story of Lee Strobel. He was a reporter for the Chicago Tribune, agnostic, almost atheistic. He's written a great book called The Case for Christ. He went on a year-long search to determine if this faith in Jesus was really valid, was it really true, was it really genuine. Of course, he found that, yes, Christ was real. In fact, in 2017, I think, there's a movie out called The Case for Christ. I think you could find it on Netflix or in your local library or something. And if your heart's been hardened, I mean, walk with Lee Strobel for a little bit. Let him kind of say, I was willing to kind of receive the seed that God wanted to plant in me and find out if it was real. Maybe there's people in your life who need to be see some of the seeds of God come, and maybe get the movie for them. Sit down and talk with them. You know, just like Amanda did with Micah, just extend an invitation to them. Maybe God will begin to open their lives up, kind of plow the ground, open the soil up so that they can receive all of this. And then the second thing that we see, the soil that we look at, is we also see that we have soil that's thin, not very much there. We call it the rocky soil. So that even while it kind of grows up very quickly, you know, kind of grabs a hold, it doesn't really last because, well, you know, some other things come along and the sun comes out. Jesus said when the sun comes out, it wilts because it doesn't have any roots to get the water and the nourishment that it needs. I don't know what happens at your house. I have these little whirly birds that come down out of the trees, you know, these little maple saplings. And it's amazing, isn't it? They take hold and then all of a sudden they little pop up in the middle of my grass. And I'm like, what are they doing in there, you know? And if I get them right away, I can just pull them up, right? No problem. But some of them over along the edge, I just ignore them. And it comes the time to kind of clean my yard, and I come over and I'm going, you know, I can hardly pull this thing has gotten a little trunk on it, and it's got its roots down in it, and you're kind of like, oh, from this little tiny thing, I mean, look what's happened. Jesus says, listen, you know, when the word of God comes into your life, if you'll put your roots down, if you'll let God's word come into your heart, this means opening God's word, reading it, trying to understand it, putting it to application in your life, praying and building these spiritual habits, letting the roots go down, so that when pressure and trouble comes into your life, you don't just wilt, you don't just give up, You don't just say, oh, I can't take this. You've got something that you can hold on to. And that God gives you nourishment from the underside. And that even though maybe you're being persecuted and things are going hard and you're having trouble with your job and your friends and your family and all these things, you can withstand that because God's giving you something inside. He's given you the strength inside that you need with all this. He says that's the second kind of soil. The third kind of soil is about the weeds that come up and choke it out. And if you do any gardening, you know, you don't have to really work at getting weeds to grow. Okay? They don't have any packets of weeds, you know, at the store. They just come, you know? And you don't have to encourage, you don't have to water them, you don't have to do anything. They just grow. And they love to take over. One of the, I don't know, I guess you'd call it, I call it a weed. We've got ivy at our house. And ivy looks so beautiful. I mean, it's so green and so lush, but it just takes over. It wraps itself around trees, wraps around our rhododendron bushes. It goes up against our, well, these people got a real problem, okay? You know? I mean, if you let it, ivy will just go over. And ivy, these people, it's nice that they cut the areas out for their windows. They probably think this looks really attractive. They don't realize that the ivy's really working its way into the mortar. The bricks are working its way underneath the siding of the house. I mean, it just won't stop. Ivy always wins, right? And you got to go to work to get this out and to cut it out and to take it down because it will choke out. And Jesus is saying, look, the weeds come. God can start a good work inside you, but if you let other things grow up, and Jesus, what did he say? When he explained it to his disciples, he says, if you let the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in, it'll choke out your faith. In other words, other things become a priority. Other things become more important than knowing God. One of the rules I try to have for myself is I try to say that in the morning, when I get up, the first thing I want to do is listen to or look at God's word. Let him be the first word in my life. This morning, I got up, and I was on my way here. I was getting ready to come and speak to all of you about, you know, making God a priority. And as I turned my tablet on to kind of turn on my YouVersion of the Bible and see what God is going to say to me, I got a little notice at the top. It said, someone liked my post. And I thought, oh, I wonder who liked my post. For the next 20 minutes, I was looking to see who liked, what did they write about, and then I caught myself and I said, here I am, you know. I've decided that finding out who likes me is more important than reading God's word this morning. 20 minutes later, I said, Lord, forgive me, you know. Here I'm going to go tell these people to make you first, and I'm more concerned about do people like me than I am about what do you have to say to me this morning. And so we have to watch out. This is going to choke us out. But the fourth kind of soil, you know what happens here. Fourth kind of soil is this rich, fertile soil. That when the seed falls into us, you know, that really begins to grow. This is the good soil. It's rich. It's full of life. You know, what makes good soil is that we're willing to listen. We're willing to look. We're willing to understand what it is that God wants to tell us. To learn more about all this. And this is going to be hard. But you know, sometimes the best soil comes from what they call compost. You know, it's not just dirt that you gather. They take the compost. The compost are things that are decaying. You know, it's leaves that are decaying. Sometimes, you know, they're being reprocessed with that. Sometimes we put our garbage in there. Sometimes it's stuff that, you know, we're throwing away, but you know, guess what? God uses these things, and he takes this stuff that almost smells bad and looks bad, and he uses it to become soil, rich soil for us. And I often think about it, you know, some of us have had a lot of compost in our life, haven't we? We've had a lot of bad things happen to us. We've had a lot of struggles. We've had a lot of pain. But sometimes God uses that to make the soil even more fertile, even richer, fuller of nutrients. And so whatever hard times you've gone through, God hasn't put those things in your life to hurt you or to somehow tell you that you're not where, that he doesn't want to be connected to you. He uses those things, though, that when his word's planted in your life, it grows even stronger because you know how real his presence is in your life. And so what a difference it makes. I was thinking about all this, and we moved into a house that right after a bad hurricane, and all the trees were down, and the whole house was a wreck, and the trees had been laying there for months. And we came in, and our old backyard was just a mess. And so we kind of started from nothing. And Becky, my wife, and a couple ladies from the church began planting. And now our backyard is just filled with rhododendrons and azaleas and knockout roses and things. And it's a beautiful little place. In my community out in Huntington Station, we have some corners, some abandoned lots. You know, an abandoned place. And you know, you see abandoned place, the grass is growing up. And you just got to, people just throw their bottles and cans in there. And nobody really cares about what's going on there. All the garbage kind of gathers there until somebody comes along and says, huh, maybe we ought to do something to kind of make this look better. I'm going to, Tony, I'll flip the slide. Look at this place. Oh, yeah, flip it back here, okay? This is what it used to look like when everybody thought, oh, there's nothing good going on here. And then people take interest and say, no, the beauty can come out of all this. And they began to see this is a place where growth can happen. Here's my story to you. And that quote is good, Tony, from Dennis Rainey. That's the story of life. We're all individual lots on which either the weeds of selfishness and worldliness and of self-destruction and, you know, either that's going to grow in our life or the fruit of the Holy Spirit's going to grow in us and flourish in us. So my challenge to you today is pull those weeds. You know, they're going to grow in your life. They grow in me every day. We got to pull these weeds, and we got to plant God's seed in us and let his seed really grow in us. Is that enough? You're supposed to nod your head, then I'll stop, okay? Is that enough? Do you want to listen? Okay, does anyone have ears? Can you hear this morning? Let God work in your life. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that you created us, you created this beautiful world that we live in, and that you use this world, Jesus used this whole world in this situation to teach us that we were created to know you and be connected with you. So Jesus, today we just ask that you'll help us to open our minds, to search after you, to seek you, and to want you and your seed to be growing in us. We pray that the kingdom of God will come, that Jesus will be our Savior, and that he will be our Lord, and he will guide us and help us. Lord Jesus, come. Don't let us miss this, because we'll miss what life is all about. And so we pray this in your name. Amen.